Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Creepy. Hear what you missed, Brian Lehrer? Inception! You didn't just miss the New York State budget. You missed some great summer movies and some great reasons to sit in air-conditioned theaters completely mesmerized by whatever blockbuster is playing. Inception, Salt, maybe even Eat, Pray, Love, which opens next week. I'm Andrea Bernstein in for Brian, and joining us to talk about some of these summer films as well as some upcoming ones is A.O. Scott, chief film critic for the New York Times. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too. So I suppose we have to start with the film that everyone has been talking about. I saw it at a drive-in in New Jersey, definitely one of my peak experiences of the summer, Inception. So
yeah.
For those of you who maybe have managed to miss it, Inception is the latest product of Christopher Nolan's reality-bending filmmaking. His latest Shimmy Down the Rabbit Hole stars Leonardo DiCaprio. Do people really not know this? And takes place in a world where people can enter each other's subconscious through their dreams and even manipulate it. So you wrote a review in the New York Times, which was maybe not so thrilling, or you weren't so thrilled. You wrote, though there's a lot to see in Inception, there is nothing that counts as genuine vision. So what was that about?
Well, it was partly my attempt to debunk a little bit of the hype that's been surrounding this movie that reminds me of the wild overrating of Christopher Nolan's last movie, The Dark Knight. I have to say I like both of these movies. I did like Inception. I had a good time. I found it entertaining, visually inventive, certainly very original compared to a lot of the sequels and franchise movies that you tend to see this time of year. I think some critics and some fans were so hungry for a masterpiece that they declared Inception to be one right out of the gate. I thought it was a really good movie. I wish there were more movies at that level of quality and imagination and surprise. And it is one of the few movies I've seen this summer that rewards a second viewing. It's kind of more fun when you see it the second time because you can put some of the pieces of the puzzle together and notice some of the visual details and the music cues and the red herrings and clues about just what is going on in these various dream worlds. So it's a very entertaining movie and I'm content to call it that. I don't think it's quite a great movie, but that's okay.
Well, I have to say it's a pretty good summer experience, though,
going
to see Inception. And one of the things that I thought was really fun about it is that there was a lot of talk afterwards about sort of what things really meant and what was happening at this moment. There's a lot of fodder for discussion. And then, the Ellen Page character, who is obviously somewhat overshadowed by Leonardo DiCaprio, shall we say, in the discussion around the movie. I saw it with my daughter and a middle school friend of hers, and they both noticed right away that her character had nothing to do with appearance. It was really all about her mind. You don't really see a lot of women's roles like that.
No, that's true. She's in some ways the smartest character in the movie, and her job, her character's job in the movie, in addition to being the architect of these dream worlds, is to explain to the audience what's going on and to ask the right questions of Leonardo DiCaprio. So there's a lot of possibility of identifying with her, and in a way, the audience is in her position through a lot of the movie, traveling alongside this tormented detective or whatever he is, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, and I think that's true. That and we've seen, this summer there have been maybe more interesting women characters in big budget movies
than
we used to.
Okay. Hold that thought, because we want to talk about that in 1 second, but I want to give out the number so people can call 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. I'm Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer. My guest is AO, a.k.a. Tony Scott, the chief film critic for The New York Times. If you have a question for him, or you want to respond to one of his reviews, or you want to give us your own quick haiku mini review, 140 characters or less, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Now, other female interesting characters, of course, the really big one that everybody's talking about is Salt with Angelina Jolie. And here's a quick clip just to set the mood.
Bro, no!
No!
On the ground!
I have to find my husband, please. Joshua!
Stay back!
Last
chance! Somebody is setting me up!
Don't make me put you down!
No!
Come on, Eth.
No!
What he says.
On the ground!
We'll sort this out, I promise.
I gotta bring you in, Salt. It's over, face down.
Somebody's going to try to kill the Russian president. You know that. Do something about that.
That's what you should
be worried about.
There's nowhere to run. Quit now.
No, I didn't do anything.
Come on.
All right. I think that audio clip.
Right there, boy.
They're pretty much, you know, that's the experience you're going to get for, you know, 2 hours or so.
Yeah, a lot of yelling and shooting and chasing and running around. The interesting thing about Salt is it was originally conceived as a role for Tom Cruise, a kind of action, this character Evelyn Salt was going to be named Edwin Salt.
So can I ask a question about that? Because was Tom Cruise going to take off his underwear and cover a security camera with it?
I don't know, and would it have been the same underwear he was wearing in Risky Business? It's an interesting question. But yes, that is something that perhaps only Angelina Jolie could do. And then some people in the audience might have been wondering for the rest of the movie, was she wearing any underwear? But there's not a lot you don't have a lot of time to be distracted into that kind of reverie, because the movie moves so fast and is so full of action, and is a pretty good time for what it is. And reminds you also that, you know, even though we're in an era of special effects and superhero blockbusters and a kind of a post-movie star age, there's still room for movie stars. There are still performers who can just get us to the theater and excite the mass audience of all ages and genders and backgrounds to just watch them run around and shoot people and blow stuff up.
Well, I mean, I do
She's
have to s- a say about Salt. So you see what I've been doing with my summer, which is furiously chasing after air conditioning. But the thing that I felt about Salt that I didn't feel about Inception is, I mean, both are sort of equally kind of preposterous movies. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stop thinking about it in Salt. I just couldn't stop thinking about how improbable it seemed, even though it was sort of, you know, a pleasurable way to spend a very hot summer afternoon.
You mean you didn't believe that there were children raised in Soviet training schools and then implanted in the United States as sleeper secret agents to overthrow the United States government and launch a nuclear war?
You know, I have to say that wasn't the most improbable part. It was sort of all of the people that seemed to get, you know, killed and stunned and, you know, all the jumping from trucks and, you know, at the beginning of when I saw Salt, there was a trailer for a movie and the end of the trailer was, maybe you can identify the movie, I can't remember it, but it was, you know, Hollywood really gets these explosions wrong. They are really loud. So that kind of set up Salt for me. Let's take some calls quickly.
Sure.
Barbara from Manhattan. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hi, how are you? I typically like your reviews. I just was a little bit disappointed with two of them, and I wanted to just go with The Kids Are All Right. And there was the movie about a year ago, Catherine Deneuve, that was a French film, The Christmas Story. Having said that,
you've been saving these clippings for a long time.
I was just talking about one of the few critics I was actually, you
oh,
know.
Oh, see, here's like the dream moment to talk back to the critic. Okay,
yeah.
Tony Scott.
Was, like, really
let's
like,
respond to
even...
Barbara.
All right,
yeah,
let's hear it.
I'm just interested in that, you know, just quickly, The Kids Are All Right seem formulaic, packaged as, you know, and the much better movie was Please Give, I think. And the Catherine Deneuve movie was completely pretentious. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, obviously, I don't agree. I mean, when you say formulaic, I guess I haven't seen a whole lot of movies about lesbian couples with teenage children whose sperm donor shows up on the scene and throws the family into disarray. Maybe I see different movies or the wrong ones. I mean,
okay, but let me just sort of jump in on Barbara's side on
sure.
this one, because, like, I mean, doesn't that seem like what you're going to think is going to happen, which is that there's going to be some kind of romantic dalliance between the sperm donor and one of the lesbian parents. Like that, that does seem maybe not formulaic. But...
Well, no, but it is. It does belong to a genre. I mean, it's a sex farce, and so it plays to some degree by the rules of its genre, even as it's reinventing them. Actually, I also thought that at the level of writing and dialogue and insight into the characters, it was remarkably fresh and insightful, and not. And with very few false notes. I really felt like the people I was watching were very real and in some ways very familiar. They reminded me of people I know and were mocked and satirized, but also treated with a lot of compassion and generosity. And it managed to do something that I haven't seen very many movies do very well. Please Give is another exception. I think that's a wonderful movie too, which is be very funny without cruelty to its characters and without leaving, you know, the planet that we all live on.
All right, Barbara.
So I have a lot of respect for it for that reason.
Barbara, very quickly, are you convinced?
No.
No. All right, listen, we're going to end it at that. You didn't convince her, but I do want to, you know, not spend the whole time talking about movies that have already come out. What's upcoming? What should people be looking for?
Well, the big movie that's coming out next weekend is sort of the last big release weekend of the summer. So you have Eat, Pray, Love with Julia Roberts, adapted from the huge bestseller by Elizabeth Gilbert, that is kind of coming in a way the way that Julie and Julia did last year at the end of a very youth-oriented, blockbuster-oriented summer to give something to adult audiences and in particular to women who have maybe read the book. There's also on the other side the Expendables.
No, wait a sec. Did you like it? Eat, Pray, Love?
I haven't seen it. I'm not going to scoop my review anyway.
Too bad. Tried.
Another intriguing movie that's coming out in between The Expendables, which is the Stallone Schwarzenegger action thing that's counter-programmed against Eat, Pray, Love, is a movie called Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which is based on a series of graphic novels with Michael Cera. That looks very, very interesting, and is maybe those movies are maybe our last chance for the summer for something that's kind of fun and original. And then rest of August
We have to end it there. So thank you so much. People can continue to read your reviews online, I'm sure. A.O. Scott, chief film critic for the New York Times, thanks so much for joining me. Andrea Bernstein, it's been a pleasure. Brian's back next week, everyone, so welcome him back.